This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Key Ingredients, Key Ingredients. And this series, I pray that it has been a real blessing to you. And this series has been designed to teach us the things that are needed and necessary to create the life that God wants us to live. And you've got to remember that we have to do things God's way. And to the degree that we do them God's way, what's going to happen, class? We're going to get God results, right? And so that is the key. So let's do some quick review as it relates to the different key ingredients. I think this is part 9, but we have 8 ingredients because one I shared with you 2 Sundays in a row. And so they're going, of course, I have the cheat sheets ready for you. They'll put them up on the screen. And then everybody tell me what was key ingredient number 1. Okay, great, class. Number 2. Integrity, all right? Are they slipping in the back? Are they slipping? No, they're not. Okay, all right. All right. Number 3? Purity. All right. Number 4? Patience. Number 5? Generosity. Number 6? Forgiveness. Number 7? Prayer. Those are all vitally, vitally important ingredients. And I hope that you really took those. And I hope you go back. They're on our website. You can access any of our stuff absolutely free. We don't charge for downloads or anything like that because I think the word should be free. I want you to always have access to it, right? Because I want you to go back and listen to it. Because remember, faith comes by hearing and not what you've heard. So when you heard the word on forgiveness on that Sunday, you received faith. You got it. But if you listen to it again, more faith will increase in your life. Does that make sense? Today's ingredient, amen, today's ingredient, I want to talk to you from the subject of having a Christ-like attitude. Having a Christ-like attitude. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter and the 19th verse, I'm going to jump right in. It says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you," help me out, class, "life and," yep, "blessings and," he says, "now choose so that you and your children may live." The KJV says you and your seed may live. And so life is choice driven. You are where you are because of the choices that you made in the past. If you don't like where you are, there's no use in beating yourself up. There's no use in getting depressed. There's no use in crying over spilled milk. Just start making better choices. And to the degree you start making better choices, it'll put you in a better place. All right. And so you have to understand the importance of just doing things God's way, wanting to do things God's way, and having the right attitude. I firmly believe that your attitude determines your altitude. I firmly believe that your attitude determines how high you go. That is why I think you have to have an attitude of faith that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. My pastor just told me I was built to last. So yeah, the thing I've been dealing with has been bothering me, but thank God for the refresher from the Holy Ghost that I am built to last. So when I go back outside of these four walls, it doesn't matter what the devil brings against me. I already know I am built to last. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And watch this, I'm not going to win because I've already won. Isn't that right? So you have to have the right attitude. I was talking to my best friend, Pastor Evan, and we were talking last week, and he was like, "Well, what's going on?" And I said, "You remember I'm about to get on the road." And so he's like, "Man, you driving?" And so my niece, Taylor, she goes to the University of Rochester, and so that's Lady's sister, Velvet. And so the whole family, we on her side, we all went up to Rochester, and some of us flew and some of us drove, and said, "Well, Pastor, why didn't you fly? Y'all know I got issues, right?" Yeah, and see, my issue is I need to be here on Sunday. So I can't be sitting in an airport talking about delays and we going to try to find you another flight. No, listen, if I get in the car, I control my own destiny. I know it takes a little bit longer, but I'd rather be driving 72 miles. Well, no, so if the speed limit's 70, 76 miles an hour. You got it. So we drove all the way there. It took almost 12 hours to get there. We woke up. We left 4 o'clock in the morning. We drove straight, and I was working my cruise control. Yeah, and so I was working my cruise control, and, you know, I had that thing set, right? Because we passed all kind of cops, but they didn't get me because I wasn't speeding. Not too fast, anyways. You got it. Yeah. And so, but my friend Pastor was like, man, you just need to have faith to get on that flight. You got it. I said, no, I'm just going to have faith that the drive is going to go quickly. You got it. And I told him, I said, Evan, remember, your attitude determines everything. I'm not looking at the drive. The joy that's set before me is Taylor asked if the family would come. She is excited that we're all coming. We're all going to get there safe. We're going to have a great time. So I'm not worried about the drive. You got it. And so sure enough, we drove there. We got there in one day. You got it. We had an amazing time. We had good fellowship. Our Thanksgiving meal was really, really good. Even for them Northerners, they seasoned the food really good. Praise the Lord. You got like it was good, right? It was. And so my attitude was not like, oh, we got to drive to get there. No, because then that's how I'd have been driving. And it in 12 hours would have felt like 24 hours. Isn't that right? And when it was all over, my attitude was like, man, this has been a great trip. We had a lot of fun. You got him, you know, and just it was good. And now, man, I can't wait to get back to WLCC. We're having one combined service. The Holy Ghost is going to be in the house. Somebody's going to make a decision for Jesus. Lives are going to be changed in amazement. I'm ready to go. But I still kept that cruise control over 7 over. So life is choice driven. You can either choose to have a good attitude or choose to have a bad attitude. But I'm just telling you, choosing to have a bad attitude is not going to get you anywhere. But to the degree that you make it up in your mind that you have the right attitude and do it God's way, you will get God results. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so the scripture in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, they'll put it up on the screen. It actually tells us that in the last days, people's attitudes get bad, which is so crazy. Easy, because we live in a culture where we have more technology than we've ever had. We've got more opportunities than we've ever had. We've got all this stuff. You got it. And if we're not careful, we seem something not us, because we're people of faith and we keep good attitudes in Jesus' name. You got it. But if we're not careful, this culture's attitude gets worse and worse. He says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. You ever seen that? Lovers of money. We sure seen that. Boastful. We've definitely seen that. Proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. And so we see that Timothy is telling us, man, in the last day, you need to beware that you don't fall under this category. You got it? And so, you know, because you might say, well, Pastor, why do you have to teach a lesson like this on Thanksgiving? Because we have to learn how to turn the thankful attitude on and keep it on, not just during the Thanksgiving holiday, but every day that you wake up is a blessing. Because somebody didn't wake up this morning, but you woke up this morning, so that's a blessing. Right? And so I want to talk to you, and I just want to pull out a few of these different attitudes that we definitely see along the way and see how we can change those things to make sure that we're having the Christ-like attitude that we are supposed to have. And so I'm going to jump right into it. I'm going to share the first one with you that I think is one of the worst attitudes that we see in this culture. Everybody say number one. All right. Number one, the first one is ungrateful. That's an attitude that we just see. There used to be a time where we just used to say kids were ungrateful, right? Now you see everybody ungrateful. You got like just everybody is ungrateful. And that is kind of the culture that we live in. People are ungrateful. They feel entitled. They feel you should do something for them. They don't believe in hard work anymore. They don't believe in going through the process of saving the money to do this. You ought to just give them the money because you got it. You understand? Like, and that has never been God's way. I told you, I've been teaching all my life, everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. God doesn't care about our temper tantrums. He wants us to learn how to be thankful and live by faith. Does that make sense? Yeah. And I'm your pastor. I love you. I got to teach you these kind of lessons. Why? Because it is impossible for me to be ungrateful, but go to God. Oh, Father, I just thank you for blessing me and give me this and give me that and give me. Like, she make me sick and he make me sick too. And why don't somebody just bring me some food? You know, it's like that is not the way God designed us to be. Does that make sense? It's like not everybody, but some people, the better off they get, the more miserable they become. When they had no car, it seemed like they were happy. You got it? Now they have 2 cars, got 2 different options, and miserable. He ain't even put no gas in it. It ain't even clean. Thank God you got 2 cars. You got it? Now, brother man, you ought to put some gas in the car. And you ought to keep it clean, praise the Lord. You got it? I'm just going to throw that out there and keep on going. You got it? And I never teach you anything that I don't do for lady myself. Does that make sense? Yep. There's certain days when I realize, I'll say, hey, what's your gas? She said, oh, babe, I'm good. I got quarter tank. I said, that ain't good because, you know, I might forget in 2 days. So, you know, I go and take her car and gas it up, and I take my car and gas it up, make sure that they're clean, you know, and those kind of things, you know. Thank God for Benny's mobile detailing. Praise the Lord. But Ben, he had to be gone for about a month, and his father was having some health challenges, and thank God for a good son that would take off and go and be with his father, you know, to take care of him. You got it? But I didn't be like, oh, man, Ben gonna be gone, my cars ain't gonna be clean. I didn't do that. How ungrateful would that be? So you know what I did? I didn't even tell a lady. I was like, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to do. You got it? And so, you know, that first week came, and I don't think lady knew I was going to do it. I went, and I cleaned them up. I mean, I cleaned them good. I cleaned the wheels. You got it? I wiped down the dash on the inside. Like brother, man, I know how to detail some vehicles. You understand? I don't prefer to, but I know how to. Right? And so, but what am I saying? I have the right attitude. I'm a very grateful person. If anyone does anything for me, I always try to extend my gratitude and show them how thankful I am. And I think that we ought to be like that because that is the nature of God. You understand? And I think that's how, you know, how we need to be. It seemed like in the old days, I don't even know what that means anymore because I'm 45, they didn't have as much, but they seem more happier. Sometimes I'm wondering if all the technology and all the extra stuff and everything just clouds the moments where you just need to be simple and be thankful for what we have. Does that make sense? Yeah, you know, you have to have the attitude that no matter where you are, if you really stop and think about it, you really could say, I'm better off than most. Like, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Like, I'm really in a good place. Yeah, this hasn't happened yet, and this hadn't happened yet, and maybe I'm believing for this and it hadn't happened yet. But you know what? If I just stop and look at where I am right now, God has been really, really, really good to me. And you have to have this attitude of gratitude. You got it? And so even though I'm giving you these attitudes or these behaviors, as the case may be, ungrateful, I'm pointing it out, but I'm flipping that thing to show you how we should not be like that. Does that make sense? All right, so number one was ungrateful. Everybody say number two. Number two, unholy. Unholy. This is a big one, you got it, that we have to really make sure that we can't mess this one up. We can't mess this one up. Nobody likes to talk about sin, but how many know we have to? Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers that you shouldn't pray, right? You know, you get into it real bad, real deep. Father, if you just get me out of this, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. See, I don't pray prayers like that. I figure it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to need Jesus by 2 in the afternoon. You understand? Like, I don't pray. I don't, if you do this, I don't know. I need thee every minute of every second of every hour of every day, right? And so we have to really make sure that we address this and understand that God is not looking for perfection from us, but he is looking for progress. You got it? He is looking for us to give our best and to be the very best that we can be. Because the issue is not, you know, well, if I sin, God won't love me anymore, because we understand that I've been saved by grace through faith. So that's not the issue. The thing I love about grace is you can't do anything good enough to deserve it, but you can't do anything bad enough to get rid of it. That's what makes it grace, right? But watch this. Paul says, but should you continue in sin even though grace abounds? And that's where he says, God forbid. In other words, you don't just do what you want to do because Jesus has paved the way. But out of this attitude of gratitude, this thankful heart that we're supposed to have because of what Jesus has already done for us on Calvary, I can't be perfect, but every day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to give God my very best. You got it? And if I do mess up, thank God for 1 John 1:9, that he's faithful and just to forgive me for all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so we have to talk about this. So it's not the issue that God won't love us anymore, because I'm going to show you in a few minutes that the Bible says that he is rich in mercy. All right. So it's not the fact that he won't love you anymore. You got to get this part. It is the idea of carrying around a weight and a shame that you were never designed to carry. That you were never designed to carry. You know, now I'm not going to ask a show of hands of how many of us have messed up in the room, because we all have. Why? Because the Bible said so. No, well, Pastor, I'm perfect. Yes, indeed. All right. And so the Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. And there have been times where, you know, we being saved, I'm talking to saved folk in the house right now, being saved have messed up and fell short and made mistakes. And if we be honest about it, most of us felt bad about it. We felt some shame about it. Maybe the next time you came to church, even though you had already asked God to forgive you, you felt a little bad walking in. And that's what the enemy tries to put on you. He tries to put shame on you. You got it? And let me just park the brakes, park the vehicle right here and just help you out. I don't care what you do. I don't care how bad it was. I don't care if you fell out with somebody in this church. I don't care what happens to you in life. Never let anything stop you from coming to Without Limits Christian Center at 102 Washington Post Road, because God is never mad at you. Does that make sense? He's never mad at you, all right? And so if you have to push past shame, embarrassment, or whatever, and what you don't realize is that is a weight that the enemy tries to always cause you to carry. You ever did something, you know, it was wrong, you asked God to forgive you, you know he forgave you, enemy will remind you about it a month later, 3 months later, 6 months later. Why? Because he's always trying to bring shame on you. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 6, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of what class? This world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Talking about Satan, right? He says, all of us also lived among them at one time. So all of us have made mistakes. All of us have lived in a way that we shouldn't have lived, all right? So there's no pointing fingers, you got it, in the body of Christ. He said we were gratifying the cravings of our flesh, and your craving might be different from my craving, and my craving might be different from somebody else's, but we were caught up in something that we shouldn't have been caught up in, is what the writer is telling us. And he said, and we follow its desires and thoughts. And he says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of the wrath that was to come. Watch verse 4. But because of his great love for us, somebody say, my God. Because of his great love for us, God, who is what class? Rich in mercy. I mean, I'm glad he's got a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I'm glad the silver is his and the gold is his, but I'm real glad that he's rich in mercy. He's got so much mercy that it doesn't matter how many people are born every day to add to the number of billions that are already on this planet. He said, I still have enough mercy that every time you go to bed and wake up, not only do I give you a brand new day, but I give you brand new mercy, because that's how much mercy I've got. That's a lot of mercy. You got it? And we can't forgive somebody for not calling us back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Stay focused, Pastor. Stay focused. Y'all know we get like that, though. We get upset we become so sensitive. I'll just look in the camera. Oh, no. There's people there. I'll look in the wall. We become so sensitive. And we are all sensitive in some areas of our lives. I have certain areas where I'm sensitive. That's not what I'm talking about. In our lives, we all have sensitivities to certain things. But I'm talking about you just sensitive at everything. You got it? I mean, you know, like, you know, early in the mornings when we get here, some Sundays, like today's one of those Sundays, Shelton wasn't here and I was running the sound. I don't have no problem doing that. But when I'm doing that, I'm running back and forth. So sometimes I might run past and say, hey, see a member that, you know, I normally would stop and hug, but I'm in focus mode. I'm in work mode. And they get that. All the people that get here early, they understand it. But imagine, and I've been doing it for a long time. So imagine someone's like, well, why didn't he hug me today? You got it? You know, but that would just be the enemy trying to bring a sensitivity on you. Hello, somebody. And make you feel a way that you shouldn't feel based on a lie that the enemy's trying to tell you that's not true. Does that make sense? Oh, he's changed. Brother, man ain't changed. I'm the same person I've always been. You got it? And so you can never let the enemy, you know, to allow you. And then I'll be honest with you, the areas that we are sensitive in, I think we have to work on those areas too. Yeah, I know there's some certain things, certain sensitivities I have. Well, Pastor, what are they? Hey, they ain't none of your business. Right? Well, I'm going to ask the lady. She ain't going to tell you. She said, right. So what? But I even work on them. And I tell myself, Matt, calm down. Why are you getting so sensitive? Just calm down. So I'm working on them myself, right? Those are not so bad, but it's just when you're sensitive about everything, watch this, typically it means that you're overly emotional. You got to, and that really means you really need to get time in prayer. You got to get time in his presence. You got to hang around some people who are mature believers that can just kind of help. Because I'm telling you, you become like who you spend time with. You hang around folk that's sensitive, that want to cuss everybody out, then, you know, that's how you're going to be. But you hang around people that love to live by faith, that love to dream big, that love to treat everybody the same, you're going to end up being the same exact way. Does that make sense? All right. Yeah. Hey, man, that's a good place to clap. Why? Because there's no big eyes or no little U's in the kingdom of God. Lady LaConte and I, we absolutely love everybody that comes to our church. You got to, it ain't based on what you, you know, what kind of clothes you got on. You understand what I'm saying? What you drive and that kind of stuff. I don't know what you drive. Now, if you drive, if God bless you with something nice, I'm thankful for it. Yeah, I'm happy for it. But watch this. That doesn't, like, it's not predicated for us, you know, on that. You got it? So, no, our love for you, you got it, is because God has connected us together. Watch this. And watch this. And you don't belong to me and lady. You got it? You know, you belong to Jesus. And so it's our job to shepherd you and care for you and give. It's our job to teach the word, to live the word, and to love the people. So as long as we do that, we're doing a really good job. Does that make sense? Yeah, amen. That's a good place to clap. All right. So we said, number one, where does the time go? All right. Number one, we said it was ungrateful. Number two, we said it was unholy. All right. Everybody say number three. Number three, unloving. Unloving. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, and it's the devil ultimately, but it just seems like people attack people now more than they ever have. And I don't, that's one reason I don't like social media, because it's like people feel like they can hide behind whatever handle they have and attack folks. You got, and it's just like everywhere. Like I'm going on the NFL app, watch to see the stats of the Cowboys because we're doing so well. And people are under that just saying all kind of ugly stuff. I'm like, hey, hello, don't come over here if you don't like the Cowboys. You understand? Like, that's real easy. You got, like, I don't knock the Bengals. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, now we have some fun. I'm not talking about just good fun stuff, you know, but just, I mean, going off. And then somebody gets upset and they go off in them, and now they're cussing at each other. I'm like, y'all, kids, get on the NFL app. Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Unloving. Before you can know what unloving is, you must first know what loving is. See, real love is not just feelings or friendship. You got it. It has to be past that, because you can have a good friend and fall out with that friend. What happens when you fall out with that friend or that loved one? You understand? And so real love is not just feelings or friendship. There's a component of that, but it's agape. It's unconditional. Real love is intentionally doing something for someone else, regardless of the cost or the consequence for yourself. You understand? Like that is what real love is. And I think that we have to make sure that we're practicing that. And I think the first place you practice that is at home. I do, you know. I think that's the first place you practice. Now, y'all already know James McIver loves some LaConte McIver, don't he? Somebody say, show do. Show, just shake your head. Show. Like, I love me some LaConte, right? I do. I love her. That's my girl. I just look at her. You got it? And I almost melt. Like, I just want her to live an amazing life. I don't want any stress on her life. I just don't want nobody to bother her. Just leave her alone. Like, you can hate me, say what you want about me. It's all good. Just leave sister girl alone. You got it? It is my job. You got it? It is with the help of God, but I'm in it. It's my job to make sure that she eats the best, wears the best, living the best, drives the best. We were driving 12 hours several times. Bae, well, babe, let me drive. I'll help you drive. You know, even when we're there, mama's like, oh, Conte's a good driver. And it ain't nothing. I believe all that. It's not that she's not a good driver or anything like that. I know how it feels to be driving down the road and you're kind of getting tense in your neck, you know, and those kind of things. And I don't want to put that on her. So I just, and that's just me, y'all. That's just me. I'm not saying everybody, don't go home to your husband, see what our pastor do, and you think you're going to put me on the road and you're going to have me drive. You're going to give me a ticket next time. Don't do that. The Bible didn't say that I couldn't let my wife drive. That's just me. Like, I don't want, I mean, y'all just see, isn't she lovely? Like, isn't she beautiful? You got it? You got it? And she looks like she, now she worked hard, y'all. She worked hard. In this ministry, she works hard. She's one of the hardest workers in this ministry. You got it? She does. Got it? And so she, you know, her and the worship team do an amazing job. She leads the teen ministry. I'm always asking, what are you doing? I'm getting graphics together for Janie. She's a worker. You got it? And so she's always working. So my thing is, it's the least I can do to make sure that she lives an incredible life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, like I said, there's no competition. So when I say things like that, you know, I don't ever feel like you have to do what pastor does. No, no, no. See, it doesn't work like that. You have to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Does that make sense? But you don't have to do exactly for your wife the way, because every relationship is different and things flow different. You got it? But that's just my chief joy, is just to make her happy. You got it? My chief joy, I tell her I love her. Ooh, I don't know how many times a day. How many times I tell you? How many times I tell you you're beautiful? Oh my God, she's just so beautiful. And I'm not saying that, like, she'll be talking to me and I'll be like, babe, you are just so gorgeous. She's like, babe, focus. I'm trying. It's hard, you know? How could I dare not ever be ungrateful. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I got a great life, a great wife. Like, you know, if God, just come down and just slap me if I get ungrateful. All right? But I will say this, husbands, I don't know why God got me on this, but I'm just going to flow like this. Watch this. That's the way you should feel about your wife. You might not have to do this and do that, but the love I have for her and the way I feel, watch this, I got that from the Word of God. You got it? And so it's very important. And when you only spend your life focusing on that one girl, you never have focus for another girl. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Because okay, Holy Ghost, he's hunching me, so I'm going. Because there's other beautiful women on this earth. There's a whole bunch of beautiful women. You got it? But you have to understand, God has given you your own. You got it? And so when they come by, you know, how you doing? And just keep on going about your business. Because everybody ain't going to turn ugly because you got married. Know what's yours and know what's not yours. The writer said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I'm only going to look on that belongs to me. Hello, somebody. Yeah, I mean, every woman in the house ought to feel like you beautiful ladies make some noise. You know? Yeah. Yeah. You ought to know that. You understand? You should. You got it? Listen, and I hope your husband tells you, but even if he don't, you just got to know yourself. I'll be a bad mama jamma. You got to talk to yourself and know who you are. I know that's an old word. I don't know all y'all new words. You got it? People, y'all change stuff. You got it? I was telling somebody, one of my nieces, I wanted to do something. They're like, say less. So you want me to stop talking? Oh, no, that's not what I was saying. I'm trying to keep up. All right, let's review. Let's put it up on the screen. What's number one, class? Number two? Number three? Okay, and the last one, number four, unforgiving. Let's see if we can't flip this. We don't forgive sometimes, and I taught a great lesson on this a few weeks ago, so I don't have to stay far on this one. We don't forgive in an effort to punish others, but we don't realize we're actually punishing ourselves. So we must be willing to extend the same grace to others that God has extended to us. I want you to understand something. I think this is a good place to go home. I want you to understand something, that our problem is not people. Our problem is the devil. And if we're not careful, we think our problem is people. And that's why you see all this fighting back and forth, you know, on social media, whether it's sports or whether it's politics, you know, just whatever. The other person's the devil. But the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places and those kind of things. And I really don't think that we're acting like the true believers that God has called us to do if we're walking around ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Just because somebody did you wrong doesn't mean you have to hold a grudge against them for the rest of your life. Just forgive them, release it, and let it go. Forgive them, Release it. Let it. I didn't say that you had to be best friends with them. I didn't say you had to go out to dinner with them. I didn't say you had to ever text them again. But what you do have to do to clear your heart is to forgive them, to release them, and to move on with your life. Why? Because forgiveness turns into bitterness. And bitterness has a whole lot of cousins, envy and strife and all that kind of stuff. And what you don't know, and I'm not speaking this. What did I say? I'm not speaking this on you. But when you fall into unforgiveness and you get bitterness and strife and envy, well, watch this, you'll start not feeling good. And I'm not speaking that on anybody in Jesus' name. So that's why I'm saying just forgive so you can be light and so you can be free. Amen. So I'm going to give you my solutions to this end time, and we're going home. It's 11:13. We're early, so we're going home in about 2 minutes. Number one, make good choices every day. Our attitude will not take care of itself. How many know that? Life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. Number two, develop a high appreciation for life. It's about learning to see the glass half full instead of half empty. It's about believing that even in the tough times, God is going to work it out for your good. Number three, find something positive in everything. I think it was last week I gave you Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true and noble and right and pure and just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then my last one, number four, before we pray, turn everything over to God. Now, I had to learn how to do that because I'm a fixer. So I've just figured I can fix it. Not that I didn't trust God, but I was going to help him out. And I realized and learned very quickly, God don't need my help. You got it. And sometimes there's times I still think I try to jump in and help God out. And then Holy Spirit nicely lets me know, God's on the job. He can handle it. You just relax. Right? And so the Bible teaches us to cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. God cares for you. God loves you unconditionally. God is concerned about you. He's concerned about the things that concern you. He's concerned about the things that keep you up at night. God is concerned about you. And that's why he made this covenant that I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Like, I'm going to be with you until the end. So I'm giving my last little key and then we pray. Have y'all gotten anything out of this? Here's the key. Just fall in love with Jesus. That is the key. Fall in love with you. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Not just making him my savior, but making him my Lord. He said, you can cast your care upon me because I care for you. He's the only somebody who knows everything about you, and the good, the bad, he knows the things about you that nobody knows about, but he still doesn't change his mind about you. And so Jesus took care of your yesterday so he can have your tomorrows. He took care of your yesterdays so he can have your tomorrows. So if you're not saved today in the room or online, I want to give you the opportunity. See, God doesn't want to be your Sunday God. He wants to be your everyday God. He doesn't want to be your Sunday God when you come in and, you know, your church is good, your worship team was great, you know, pastor, he was really on it today, you understand? You know, and it was great, and then Monday you go back into your dorm. No. He wants to be your everyday God. That when it gets tough on Monday afternoon, he wants you to know, I'm here. All you got to do is just come talk to me. When things go crazy or haywire on Wednesday or Thursday, he said, I'm here. All you got to do is just come talk to me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. There's a few people that have to get up and move. And if you notice that, they're not being disrespectful. They have to go get in place for when we get done. But if everybody else could please just stay in your seats. And if you can just please stay still, we'll be out of here in just a few minutes. Maybe you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're online today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. And I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. And listen, that word repent is not a hard word. It's a very easy word. Repent, that word repent means I was heading in the wrong direction, making the wrong choices, But I came to the knowledge of Jesus and decided to, watch this, make a U-turn or repent or start heading in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature or new creation, that old things are passed away, but behold, all things become new. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. I want you to know God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He's not ashamed of you, but he loves you very much. And even right now, he's knocking at the door of your heart. Maybe you're a Christian in this room and you just need to repent. See, repentance does not put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. My last appeal is maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. That is not a competitive statement. That's just a true statement. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. Being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And it's the will of God for you to get victory in every area of your life. And so I'm going to pray this prayer together with those in the room and online. Before I do that, remember the connection card that I talked to you about. If you're going to get saved today, please fill this out. If you're going to rededicate your life, please fill this out. If you're going to join this church, please fill this out. And of course, if you're a first-time guest, we want you to fill it out as well. It's so important to follow through with that. And so I want everyone in this room and online to pray this simple prayer. Say, Pastor, why should I pray it? I'm already saved. It's going to help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. But truth be told, we can all pray this prayer together as a family. I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. Father, we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?